24, Luke chapter number 24. I'm glad he gave testimony. I'm glad he bore witness. I'm glad he made the truth to be known that it was him. And in him we can find everything that we need satisfied. In him we can find every need met. In him we can find the strength that we need to go on. In him we can find in the darkest hour. He's the brightest light that could ever shine. In him we have all that we need and so much more. Aren't you glad this morning it was him? Amen. It's not about a church. It's not about a preacher. It's all about him. Amen. In Luke chapter number 24, if you'd stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, we're excited to be here. We're excited because it's about Him. Amen. We had a week of Bible school, and it was all about Him. The young people come, and they gave. We have an offering of close to $2,000 that was given by the kids. It's been rounded out. We're going to give $2,000 to a missionary in Papua New Guinea because the kids gave because of Him, and they wanted people in Papua New Guinea to hear about him. Amen. I'm glad there's a tent revival going on this week up at State Line Baptist Church, and they're going to be telling people about him. I'm glad that Emerton Baptist Church is in Vacation Bible School this week, and they come and got some of our stuff so that they could tell everybody about him. Aren't you glad this morning it's about him? Amen. We're just going to take this narrative, and since Brother Steve got to sing to you about it, we're going to use our text in verses 27 through 35. The Bible says in verse 27 of Luke chapter 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them in the breaking of the bread. And praise God tonight or this morning, I'm glad he still makes himself known unto us. Amen. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being able to assemble in your house. We thank you this morning for each one that's come this way. We thank you this morning for being a God that loves us, for being a God that cares for us, for being a God that saves us and sustains us when we need all that we need, for there's no one else that can do for us what you can do for us. And Lord, we thank you this morning, God, that as we look to your word today, you have a help for us. And God, help us each one to open our hearts in our minds to receive your word, Lord, that it might minister unto us the things which we stand in need of, God, that we might be found, Father, where you'd have us to be, doing what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. Sometimes folks get weary about coming to the house of God. They wonder, why is it so needful? It is needful. It's not only a need that needs to be supplied. It should be a desire that we should have in our hearts and in our lives for one another and for the things of God and the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we have a Word before us that is life. Amen. A Word that brings hope and strength. A Word that encourages and helps us, and a word that is more than we could ever imagine, all that it can do for us. But I want you to know something this morning. It is the very bread of life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread that's come down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. And he is the word. In the beginning was the word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what happens when we gather together in God's house? We gather to hear from the Word. Amen. We gather to hear from Him, not just from a book, but from the Word. Not just from some pages that have writing on them, but from the living Word. He's still alive. This book is alive with truth that we need for our lives. And that's what these disciples found while they were on the road to Emmaus. They were finding that they were distraught. They were finding that they were in despair. They were finding that they were in difficult circumstances and difficult times. But praise God, there was some truth to be found when their eyes were opened by the Word. Amen. Let's look at some things that happen when we allow the Word to open our eyes. Look back in verses 13 to 16. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." When we don't have our eyes opened, when our eyes aren't clearly seeing what we need to see, we find ourselves going away from where we need to be. Amen. We find ourselves journeying off the path that we need to be on. We find ourselves far from the place where we should find ourselves and should be where God wants us to be. You see, everything that was going on and everything that was going to transpire, everything that Jesus had told them was about to happen and was going to happen, was happening in Jerusalem. But they went their own way. They got to looking into things the way that they thought they should see them instead of the way that Jesus told them, instead of the way that the Word said that it should be. And isn't it true of each and every one of us? When we stop seeing things the way that the Word shows us, we start going our own way. Isn't that the way of man? Isn't that the way that man operates and man deals with things? When he starts getting afar from God, and he starts getting in a self and starts thinking in and of himself, he starts traveling farther from God. Or he starts doing things his own way, and boy, what a calamity that has caused down through the centuries. Amen. Look at what happened with Abraham and Sarah when they went their own way. They did things their own way. For those that don't know what's happening over in the Middle East today, what we're still dealing with in the world today is a result of Abraham and Sarah trying to do things their own way. God done told them what was going to happen. God told them that it was assured that it was going to happen. He made it sure. He promised them that it was going to happen. They had his word on it, yet they still tried to go and do things their own way. Amen? And look at what a mess it's got us in today. Look at what a mess we're still dealing with in the world. These disciples had been with Jesus. They had heard him tell the things that was going to transpire, the things that were going to happen, and how all these things must come about. And yet when they happen, they forgot what the Word says. That's what happens when we forget the Word. That's why it's important to be in the house of God. That's why it's important to let the Word of God open your eyes, to break the bread of life open, and let it minister unto your hearts and to your needs, so that you can see where God wants you to be. So that you can understand what God is telling you. See, sometimes we let our own desires, our own self-will take us to the place where we want to be because we haven't taken time to break the bread. We haven't had the opportunity to sit under the preaching of the Word. It makes a difference when the bread of life is broken unto us and preached, and we worship collectively. But not only where we find ourselves journeying far away from God, we find out that our circumstances blind our hearts and our minds to His truths. Look in verses 17 to 20. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they've crucified him. Have you ever been in a situation where your circumstances blinded your eyes, your circumstances blinded your heart, your circumstances blinded everything about you? You felt that you was blindsided on every side because you got out of the Word. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Something bad happens and you get in a real bad funk. Something bad happens and you find yourself in a real bad place, a real horrible place, and you start questioning and you start wondering and you start trying to decide whether it's really worth it or not. That they had been with Jesus. Matter of fact, they was probably some of the ones who got fed by Jesus. No doubt they had heard all the things that Jesus had taught and seen all the things that Jesus had done. And now the circumstances had changed. He was mighty in words and deeds. They knew all these things and they were aware of all these things. But because he went and did what he told them he was going to do, and the circumstances didn't play out like they was hoping and like they was looking for, they're having a pity party on the way to Emmaus. Anybody ever been there? Amen. Anybody ever been on the road to Emmaus? Things just look so, man, Joe was on that road this week. Amen. Amen, brother. I'll tell you that. I'm going to tell him, Brother Joe. He was on the road to Emmaus this week. He'll testify to it. He's already give testimony to it. Man, they told him he was going to have surgery. His carotid arteries were, 80 or 90% blocked up. And he went into the surgeon's office on Thursday expecting to be sent right to the hospital because, man, they had him believing he was going to die at any minute. Something horrible was going to die at any minute. And Brother Joe was scared. Brother Joe was worried. Brother Joe was in a funk, wasn't you, brother? Hey, man, we had prayer with Brother Joe. Several of the men here had prayer with Brother Joe at different times as he sat out here at Vacation Bible School this week. But he came back Thursday night. He came back with a different story. He came back with a different tune. He came back with a different attitude because he found out that the one that holds his life in his hand is the one that holds his health in his hands as well. Amen. Amen. He found out that the doctors sometimes don't know everything. But Dr. Jesus does. Amen. He found out that His word is true. Behold, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen, Brother Joe. Amen. He was on shouting ground. He called me Thursday afternoon. He was bawling on the phone like a baby, telling me how good Jesus was to him, how good God had been to him, how God had delivered him from all this that he thought was going to happen. I told him what God had done for Brother Jack. He told me the other night, he said, yeah, I left here thinking, yeah, sure. Never going to happen to me. Amen. And then he got the same news. Praise God. Sometimes when we get far away from God, and I'm not saying Brother Joe was, but you know, just think, had he been a man who had got far away from God and forgot what God had said, what God had taught, what His Word teaches, and how His Word explains and expounds unto us His goodness and His concern for us, our circumstances can sometimes blind us to the truth. But praise God, if we'll open the bread of life. Amen. If we'll hear the bread of life, if we'll get under the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God, it changes the circumstances. Amen. It flips the script. It turns things around. What looked dark and gloomy now looks bright and sunny. I was sharing in Sunday school this morning a young lady that we met in Indiana who has some different problems and deals with issues and has a real hard time with depression. She was just going through a lot. They've been going through a lot. This broke down. Both their cars are broke down. The husband got a new job, and they're trying to get him to work, and they had to go buy a new car, and then this happened, and it just keep piling up on her, and she's getting overwhelmed, and she said, "When's it going to stop? I don't know what to do." And I just texted her this morning, or messaged her on Facebook this morning. I said, "Honey, look up. Look up. You want to see the light?" She said, "When's the light going to shine at the end of the tunnel?" I said, "Just look up." I said, "When you start looking up, you'll start seeing Jesus." I said, "When you start looking around you, all you're going to see is your circumstances. All you're going to see is the situations that tell you that your circumstance is hopeless. But when you look up, you'll see Jesus. Amen. And if you'll look up to Jesus, you'll find out that He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He has the last word. And your circumstances aren't it. If you get back into the Word, you find out that God does not forsake His people. Amen. Amen. He hadn't forsaken them. He hadn't lied to them then. But because things weren't happening the way, you know, we all want things to go as best as they can. We all want things to go our way. Amen. But you know what's best? You know what your prayer should be? What Jesus taught us to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray in everything for God's will to be done. Amen. For God's will to be done. I want God's will to be done. I know what I want, but I want God's will to be done. I know what I desire, but I want God's will to be done. I know what I'd like to see happen, but I want God's will to be done. Because when things happen my way, generally they don't work out the way God wants them to. Amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But praise God. When we break the bread, whoo, you read the back of the book, we win. Amen. Have you read the promises of God? We're in. Amen. Have you read what He's got in store for us? We get it all. Amen. It don't get any better than that. It don't matter what's happening right now, amen? And I know in your circumstance and in your life, it seems like what's happening right now is the greatest monumental mountain or the greatest monumental thing that you've ever had to deal with and ever had to face. It's bigger than King Kong. It's bigger than Goliath. It's bigger than anything any saint of God has ever had to face. Let me tell you what, it's not. It's not. The same God that was with these saints of old is the same God that walks with us today. The same God that stood by the walls of Jericho as the captain of the Lord's host and told Joshua we don't have to worry about a thing. It's the same God that's with us today. The same God that was with Elijah and his servant down at Dothan when the Assyrian army was encamped around them and God's army was encamped about encircling the army of the Assyrians is the same God that's with us today. The same God that was walking around with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace is the same God that walks with us today. He walks with us and He talks with us and He comforts us and He guides us. The same God that stood by Paul that night on that ship in the midst of the storm and said there would be no loss of life but of the ship only is the same God that walks with us today. The same God that was with the saints of old. The same God that was with the martyrs who've been martyred for the cause of Christ. The same God that stood with the men and women who have helped to perpetuate and to see the Word of God go forth is the same God that's with us today. You see, sometimes we look at circumstances and we forget all about what they'll say at the Word of God. Sometimes when we haven't broken the bread of life, our faith gets weaker. Look at verses 21 to 24. Look at what they said. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Well, Jesus told them, on the third day I'd live again. Put His body in the ground. And in 3 days, you'll see it up and walking around. Put His body in the grave. And death may think it has a claim. But I want you to know something. In 3 days, I'm going to rise up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Put this body in the ground because it has to be. Life doesn't come unless the kernel is laid in the ground, unless it dies, and then it springs up into everlasting life. He taught the parable of the corn so that we'd understand. He told them plainly what was going to happen. He made it clear. But they didn't have faith enough to stay at Jerusalem and wait for His appearing. They didn't have faith enough to trust Him that it would be even as He said it was going to be. Everybody heard of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody, I preached about him last Sunday night, or our devotion. Talked about his conversion and what has been said about D.L. Moody. But D.L. Moody said this, listen to this, it's very important, listen really closely. He said, I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't come. How many of you have been like that? God, give me faith. 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 Then circumstances happen and you fail. God, give me faith. God, give me faith. Man, I trust in this and trust in that. But it didn't seem to come. One day, I read in Romans, get this. One day, I read in Rome. Where was he at? He was in the bread. Hey, man. One day, I read in Romans. What was he doing? He was getting fed. Hey, man. One day, I was in Romans. What was he finding? He was finding the help that he needed. He said, one day I read in Romans that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study, and faith began to grow in every sense. You know what happens when we let the bread of life open our eyes to the truth of God's Word? Our faith begins to grow. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God. That's why it's so important to pick up your Bible. And man, if you don't read through the Bible every year, you're missing a blessing. Because every year you'll see something that you say, make you say, wow. Wow. Every year you'll find something that will strengthen and encourage your faith. D.L. Moody, a man that was greatly used by God, thought he could pray. See, that's the problem. We think that because we serve a God that's full of miracles, that he's just going to wave his fairy wand over us or something and we're going to get everything we need. But that ain't what God has told us to do. His word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man, you want to grow stronger in your faith. You want to grow stronger in the word. You want to grow stronger in being what God wants you to be. Can you imagine going where the Halls family are going? Papua New Guinea. We got Weichi Lam and his family are in Papua, Indonesia, which is the other side of the island. And man, right back there on his prayer card, on his prayer letter, they got that fellow with them feathers sticking out of his head and that bone stuck through his nose and all that stuff. These are the people that they're ministering to. They're wrapped up in serving false gods. They're wrapped up in listening to witch doctors and their holy men tell them what to do. They're village leaders. And the village of Segrifa, where they're really working hard and they're striving to get a work started, a good work started. The village leader there would not let them build a church. Why? Because what the Bible says, he's a heathen. He's a barbarian. He's unaware that there's only one God and he's a living God and he's a real God. And he said no. And Brother Timothy sat and talked to him for a while. This is a real deal missionary. It's a fine line between missionary and moochinary, but he's a real deal. Let me tell you that. Sit down and talk to him. And he'll tell you how God just works things out. The village leader said, no, you're not building no church. We're not having no Christian church here. We're not bringing that stuff in here. So Brother Timothy went and they started a church and it was a harrowing ride for any of the villagers that wanted to go to the church to go. And he said, I mean, it's down red mud roads and sometimes you slide halfway down the mountain and everything else. And some of the ladies in the village that they'd been witnessing to wanted to go to this church. And they rode the truck one time. And after the slipping and the sliding and the harrowing trip they took, they decided they would just walk it. So they would walk from 2 to 7 hours to go to church. And the village leader called Brother Timothy and says, I want to talk to you. He went to see him. He says, I don't like seeing the ladies in my village having to walk all this way to church. It's dangerous. He said, I'll let you build a church here. What's that? It's nothing but the hand of God. What's that? It's trusting God. What's that? It's depending on God to meet the need. Not we do our part and God does his part. Brother Timothy's been faithful, and now God is doing what he said he would do. And I'm glad that we serve a God that's faithful. If we just do our part, he'll do his part. If we'll study the word, he said he would impart it into our hearts. He would help us to hide it in our hearts. Amen. And we need to get in the word that our faith might grow and our faith might increase, and we might learn to trust him. See, when we're blinded by circumstances, the word and everything that the word tells us becomes null and void because we're not seeing through eyes of faith. We're not seeing what God wants us to see. Look here in verses 25 to 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Do you know that 353 times in the Old Testament, the Bible gives prophecies concerning Christ? All the way from Genesis 3:7 to the end of Malachi, there are prophetic verses that tell about Christ. They not only tell about his might and his power, but they tell about his humility and his suffering. They don't only talk about him being a suffering Savior. They don't only talk about him being the maligned Savior, but they tell about him being the dead Savior, the crucified Savior. But they also tell about him being the risen Savior. 353 prophecies. Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53 are probably the most familiar if you read them. And it leaves no doubt that they were prophetic verses, and Christ had been telling his disciples all along that he was the fulfillment of the things that the prophets had prophesied. And as he met with them there, he reminded them of all the things that the prophets had said. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When we get our eyes on our circumstances and our eyes are dull and our eyes become blinded, we lose sight of the things which the Word of God has spoken. You know what the Word of God has assured me of? That if I put my faith and trust in him, I can have hope. I don't have hope in this world only. The Apostle Paul said, if in this world only we have hope, he said, I'm of all men most miserable. I don't have hope in this world only. I got hope of an eternal home that's been prepared for me in glory. I don't have hope in what my abilities are, but my hope is in who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. Why? Because the Word of God has told me. The Word of God has shown me. The Word of God reveals it to me. The Word of God helps me to keep my eyes clear, to keep my eyes open, to keep my focus right, and to realize and to know that everything I need and everything I will ever need is in Christ Jesus. That's why I like that song. I asked Brother Steve to sing that this morning. Who do you think? Who do you think done it all? Who do you think created it all? Who do you think has met the needs of his people down through the ages? Who do you think? It was no one but Christ, and no one but Christ can do what Christ has said he's going to do. No one but Christ can do what the prophets have prophesied that Christ is going to do. No one but Christ can meet your needs. But you need to see that, and the only way that you're going to see that is through faith's eye. The only way that you're going to see that through faith's eye is to break the bread and let him speak to your heart. 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he had gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Now look, he's the guest. Amen. Jewish tradition. When you're the guest in the house, you're subject unto the host. Amen. You're subject unto the host. They tarried him, or they constrained him and got him to tarry and to come in. And he went in with them. But look what happens. The guest becomes the host. See, we come into the house of God. We come here to worship together corporately, collectively. We come to worship as an assembly. And we come and we come because we want to invite Jesus in. I don't know how many come to hear me this morning. You come to hear me, you didn't come to hear much. You come to hear from Him. Praise God, you've come to hear a great thing. And I trust this morning you believe that you're hearing from Him. You're hearing from His Word. Amen. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst also. Amen. The psalmist said that God inhabits the praises of Israel, the praises of His people. As we come together and as we worship and as we focus on Him, you know, our focus isn't on Charlestown Baptist Church. Our focus is on Jesus. Our focus isn't on the singers. It's on Jesus. Our focus isn't on the preacher. It's on Jesus. Amen. Our focus is on putting Him first and foremost in everything and making Him the center of everything that we do. Amen. And then He shows up. See, if you'll invite Him in, He'll show up. In Revelations 3:23, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the lost people. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Amen. You see, this morning, if you invite Him in, you'll find out something amazing is about to transpire. Something amazing is going to happen. Amen. And it came to pass as He sat at meat with them. I hope He's met with you this morning. I hope you've invited Him in this morning. As He sat at meat with them, the guest became the host. He took the bread and blessed it. And break it and gave unto them. You see, when we let Him in and we let Him feed us, then He opens our eyes. Get this. I read this and it gave me that chicken, the goosebumps, chicken skin, somebody called it one time. Listen to this. The traditional Jewish blessing that was used to bless the meal in the Jewish home. And it is figured that this was probably the same blessing that was used in Jesus' day. Is this. Listen to this. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the world, who hath caused bread to come forth out of the earth. Have you got it? Did you catch it? Did you miss it? Here is the bread of life, who was crucified. They're in a funk because He was laid in a tomb. They're perplexed because they found an empty grave. They had forgot that they had heard Him say, I'm going to lay this body down and in 3 days I'm going to rise it up again. And now the very bread of life, now the very one that they've languished over, now the very one that had brought sorrow and trepidation into their hearts and their lives is praying that prayer before them, is asking that blessing before them. Blessed art thou, O God, who hath made bread to come forth out of the earth. earth. And praise God, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened and they could see. Praise God. I'm glad this morning that when you invite him in and you allow him to take over and he breaks the bread for you, he'll open your eyes and he'll help you see who he really is. He'll help you know that what he said is true. He'll help you know that everything you put your faith and trust in, man, we had hoped. Yeah, you had hoped. He let you know your hope wasn't in vain. We had trusted in him. Your trust wasn't placed in an unworthy place. I still get, man, I read that little prayer there. It's still just, Can you imagine? Can you imagine the scene when they realized, when it finally hit them, as he prayed the prayer, thou hast made the bread to come forth out of the life, and he was sitting right in front of them. When your eyes are opened, when your eyes are opened, and you really see, you see him for who he really is. When your eyes are open and you really see, you can't wait to tell somebody else. Amen. Amen. I remember we got an album, that's an old album, Christian Four, singing those songs. And then I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Yes, I told everybody how he set my spirit free. Well, now I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet. I've told it all day and I tell it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. Amen. What did they do? Man, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Man, we got to go tell somebody. Now, they done traveled 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they'd sat down and they'd broke bread with the bread of life. Amen. He'd opened their eyes. He'd revealed unto them the truth of everything that they'd heard and everything they'd put their faith in. And now they couldn't wait to go back and tell somebody else about what Jesus had done. I hope you can leave here today and have a desire to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you in your life. Has Jesus done something for you? Has Jesus helped you see something? Has Jesus brought you out of a dark place and helped you realize that it wasn't quite as dark as you thought it was because he was there? Amen. Has Jesus brought you out of a storm? Amen. Maybe he didn't bring you out, but you realize that he's right there with you. Amen. Safest place to be is right where he's at. Amen. I'd rather be in a storm with Jesus than standing on the outside depending on myself. That's right. Amen. I don't know what he's done for you, but I know what he's done for me. I don't know what he's opened and revealed to you, but praise God, I'm glad he's revealed himself to me. I don't know if he's visited with you this morning, but praise God, he's visited with me, and I'm so thankful this morning for the privilege of to preach his precious word. I'm so thankful this morning that I've got to worship with you guys. I'm so thankful this morning that we've come in a fellowship of believers, trusting and believing what he's able to do, and praise God, I know that he does it. But I know this morning that if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've realized this morning he's everything you need, he'll save your soul. I don't know what you're dealing with. We're all dealing with something, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether it's joyous or whether it's just bringing sorrow of heart. But I know this morning that whatever it is, he's right there with me. You don't have to face it alone. I don't know, Christian, maybe you're here. And maybe you've been going the wrong way. And you realize this morning it's time to turn around and go back his way. Go back to where he is. Go back to where he wants you to be. How about it this morning? I'll tell you what, we're going to do something a little different this morning for invitation. Brother Stanley, won't you come? Guys, come on. Come on, sing.